Welcome back to New York Wedding Jam, the podcast for modern couples. I'm your host, Jason Alisea, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Martine Darniak.
Hey, hello, Jason. Martine. How's it going?
Good. What's going on with you?
Reminiscing about all things high school for a minute here. I even pulled out my yearbook and everything.
Of course, you pulled out your yearbook
for the Arimaspians of this year. And that you notice that I'm trying not to share it. I don't know if it's going to come up in the camera, but the never ending story was our theme.
Are you trying to plug the yearbook right now?
the movie. Like
Martine, what was your high school mascot? What were you guys?
We were the Griffins.
The Griffins? Oh, that's yes. That weird bird, right?
Yeah, the mythological right. Creature.
What is
the
mythological? Harry
Potter? it was half lion, half
like bird.
Bird or something. Yeah,
half phoenix.
Eagle. It might have been eagle.
The never-ending bird. That's what it should have been called. The yearbook.
Yeah, right. And then the whole we kept it themed appropriately because we called the yearbook was named the Arimaspian, which was also some other mythological association that was tied to the Griffins. I don't remember.
Now you were responsible for the yearbook. How did you let it get named that?
I was the editor of the yearbook.
You were not in on the creative side. You were just the editor.
I didn't get to. I was in on the creative side, the cover and everything. Like this is an award-winning book right here, guys. Like just so you know, my claim to fame after I graduated from college, my first job was as a yearbook rep, and
I love that.
Yeah, like we took a tour down to the plant where they printed them, which was of course where they printed my book in high school. So the same place I got the job was where my high school yearbook was printed, and it was still on display. So just so you know, like this is like 4 years later.
Oh my
god!
And it
was the only one that was still up on display because this thing rocked.
They took it. Listen, they agreed. They took it very serious.
Like it was. We went down the whole rabbit hole. Like I went to yearbook camp and everything. Like so.
You might be in the wrong industry, Martine.
I'm full on nerded out about the whole
no,
thing.
No, Martine, maybe this was your career yearbook, the never ending career too. You know.
That was how it started. Life happens, and you know. The yearbook I had to say goodbye to yearbook land.
Right.
I mean,
between being a yearbook specialist or publisher and being a wedding planner, I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Ah-ha-ha. That brings us to our topic today.
Speaking of cake, you like that, Vin? Do you like that?
I'm rolling my eyes over here.
All right. We have a very special guest in studio today, and it's we want to have a topic today where we talk about cakes, which is a very big topic in the wedding industry. It's a billion, I don't know, Vin, is it a billion dollar industry, the cake industry?
Just the cake part.
That's a good question.
The cake.
$1 billion industry, I would like to call them that.
Yeah. Well, we have today in studio Vin from Vincenzo Salvatore Cakes. Hello. Welcome, Vin.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm excited to have you here. We've been trying to get you on for a while.
I know.
This is going to be a good one.
And of course, we've been dying to have him on, and all we do is talk about yearbook high school stuff. And
That's hysterical.
We don't have to talk about the high school part.
You know what, though? Actually, I'm going to back up. Okay. Yeah. The field that I do, I feel like the field that we all do, is very creative. So right. Yearbook, you have to get creative. So you know what, Martine? I enjoyed listening to the creative process.
Thank you.
We got to hear about.
One day I will share all my reasons that I believe that anybody trying to get a job after they go to high school or through college should join the yearbook staff of any school. I don't even know if they still do them. But like the skills that I learned literally led to my first real jobs, like all of them. Like my internships, which were all paid. Like all of the skills that I learned, sales, marketing, design, graphics, photo editing, all of it came from our friend, the yearbook. So I'm just saying, this is a lot.
It's actually ironic that you say that because I feel like people don't realize that a lot of things in life actually lead to other things. So like, believe it or not, I actually used to be in retail before I got into cakes. So I was a manager of a Bath & Body Works, actually, believe it or not.
Get out. I love Bath &
Body Works. And I learned a lot of, well, basically what wound up happening is I went to culinary school, and spoiler, but I dropped out. Actually, I did not finish culinary school.
Really?
And when I dropped out, I got a job at, a prestigious place. It was an internship. And after that internship, actually, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to take a break from cakes. Like, I don't know if, like, this is the right field I'm meant to be in. Like, I think I'm going to pivot towards something else. I was like, let me just, you know, get a job in the mall. Like, something that I knew I could enjoy. And the cake industry is very stressful. Like, there's a lot of pressure. So I was like, I'll go into retail. You know, I can enjoy it. I'm a people person. I love talking and socializing. So I thought it was going to be great. Little did I know how stressful it was going to be dealing with mothers all the time.
Dealing with what?
Mothers.
Oh.
Please. All these people would come in and be screaming and hollering about their coupons. But I learned so much from it. Like, it really brought me, like, where I am now, I feel like.
Wow.
That's interesting. Like, Vin, I didn't realize that. So I would love to have you elaborate a little bit on why the cake industry is so stressful. Like, what about it is stressful for you in general?
So basically, there's multiple components to the cake industry, right? A big thing is always going to be time crunch. Yeah. Cakes are food. And what that means, and now I'm going to plug you, Martine, because I know that you're getting into catering now. So you understand that you can't prepare stuff weeks in advance. You know, like, right. It has to be fresh. Right. You have very little time to finish a product start to finish. So, you know, the whole process of the wedding cake, like, start to finish, is really like 3 days. That's it. I mean, you'll bake the cake, you'll cut it, you'll fill it. You know, there's only X amount of days where until you're like, all right, who wants like a 3 week old cake that's been sitting in the fridge?
Nobody.
Right.
So it's very stressful, that aspect. But then, you know, you also have other aspects with, we're not talking about this all the time. Delivery is always, I'm so used to it now, but it's never a fun moment. Like, I feel like sometimes, like, especially if I have to go from Staten Island to Long Island, it takes like 18 trillion hours. So anything can happen in the car. You know, it's always like the fear of the unknown.
Do you drive them yourself?
Yes. Then? Yes.
You deliver them yourself.
I deliver every single cake still.
Do you have a special equipment in your car to hold a cake in place? I'm so curious about this. I'm always interested in logistics, like how it all works.
So no, actually, believe it or not, we just use cardboard boxes.
Okay.
The cardboard is like magic, though. It literally keeps the cake so cold. I mean, so my work van I have right now is not actually refrigerated. So there's only also X amount of hours that, like, we can keep it out. But luckily, well, what I do, the cakes usually go in the walk-in box when they get to the venue. So a cake can technically sit out for like 6 to 8 hours max. So if you're driving for a half an hour and then it goes right in the walk-in box, it doesn't, it's fine. You know, like, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
But the cardboard literally does wonders. But no, we really don't have anything special. There's nothing to it.
Like, not even just so, like, because, like, I would be scared that the thing is going to, like, tip over on a hill or something.
No, so people also don't realize this. This can go into this part as well. Cakes are so heavy.
Yeah.
You have some cakes that I make can weigh close to 100 pounds. I mean,
what?
Yeah, easy. Think about it. You know, you're using all butter. Fondant is dough. So when the cake is covered in fondant, it's, I mean, we use, let's say you have a 16 inch base, you'll use around 4 pounds of fondant just on that one base without any of the fillings. So now imagine 7 tiers of that, you know? So there's a lot of weight to these cakes.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead, Martine.
Yeah, sorry. So to that point, like,
yeah, so many questions.
Yeah, so many. Like, man, you're gonna be here a while. So I hope you're ready. So if it, like, that heavy, like, are you carrying these yourself? Like, just you out here delivering?
No. So we have a rhythm down pat.
Okay.
Someone gets one side, someone gets the other side, and then it's actually really light. If you have two people doing it, it's super easy. You balance the weight, but when you have to do it alone.
Yeah.
It is a straight gym workout. Like, you're getting your biceps in. You're like, it's challenging. Like, it could be a lot.
And now, what kind of cakes, like you were mentioning a lot of things before, like terminology I didn't understand. I mean, you said cold. I don't do cold cakes. I do. What is the kind of cake you do?
No, I
What do
think
you
he
mean?
was saying, like, he was saying the refrigeration, but like, are you talking about like the fondant?
Oh no, I was saying that the
Fondant.
box keeps the cakes cold, like
Oh,
cold in the fridge.
Oh, it keeps the temperature like insulated a little bit. Okay.
Yes, it's not like the
Now,
cake is as warm as anything when you take it out of the work van.
So do you like what kind of cakes do you specialize in? Tell us about if you were pitching your services, what would you say to me?
So we obviously specialize in just wedding cakes.
Okay.
But I would say really sugar flowers. That is really what we're known for. That is my true passion. There's something about the beauty of just sitting there sculpting flowers for hours. And the real beauty in it too is flowers are imperfect. You know, it doesn't have to be absolutely perfect. So when you're putting a piece together, like you want it to look unique and different. And that's what really makes a cake shine is every single cake can really take on its own form and elements. And then, you know, this client has these colored flowers and this client has this color. Like it's really unique, I think. That's what I say we'd specialize in. Other than that, we're also very big on making our clients happy. So we get every single style under the sun. We get hand-painted cakes, sugar flower cakes, you know, cakes that have gold everywhere, cakes that are super plain and basic, buttercream cakes. There's really just a mix of everything.
Gotcha.
Very cool. So Vin, when a client comes to you, like how do you normally approach it? Because, you know, from the catering side, for example, most food is going straight through the venue. And sometimes the cakes do, but not always. So, like, how are people really reaching out to you? What's the process look like to get started on a custom cake from Vincenzo Salvatore Cakes?
So basically what happens is you shoot us an email. And then from there, you're going to come in for your consultation. So we'll sit down. You know, consultations can be anywhere from 20 minutes to 4 hours.
4 hours.
Yes. I've had my hair like pulling my hair out of my head. Nothing against any of my clients. I love them. But sometimes, you know, the design process gets very hard. And I also really believe, too, that when you show too many options, it just gets way too overwhelming. It's like
Agreed.
walking into, you know, a gown, a bridal store, and literally there's 18 trillion gowns. You try every single one on. You are not making up your mind. So, some of my consultations that last that long, I'm like, I think we need to stop. Let's come back to this another day. But that's pretty much how it is. It's super simple. You shoot us an email, come in for the consultation. We finalize the cake in the consultation, so you'll try the cake. Then we'll sketch the cake, design the cake, we'll finalize all that, and then the next time I see you is on your wedding day, if I even see you.
Okay.
Do you
Now,
often see your clients like wedding day? Because normally, like you guys are just kind of
no,
doing
which
drop
makes me
off, right?
so sad. I'm like
Yeah.
literally, we usually come in the morning because it has to go in the walk-in box, and it's like, congratulations, here's your cake. Like it's sad. I wish I saw my clients. Sometimes I do though. Sometimes I do.
You might get a peek,
Yes,
if
sometimes.
nothing else.
And they're usually very excited. I'm like the Phantom. Like it's like I literally like if you catch me, it's like I'm like the Wizard of Oz. Like it's
Gonna be honest with you. I see most vendors on wedding day that are there on the day of. Like I run into everybody typically. The people I see the least of are the people who are delivering the cakes because sometimes they've dropped it off and I missed the drop off and that was it. And like you guys are kind of in and out pretty quickly.
We
So
are.
typically speaking, you're just doing the drop off to like the fridge at the venue, or like do you ever actually set up the cakes yourself?
Yeah, so that is a whole different spiel. So if the cake is an average cake, which would be anywhere from 3 tiers to 6 tiers is getting big. That can go in the walk-in box. Once you hit past that 6 tier mark, we got to stack that on site. It gets way too big to transport. So that'll come in pieces. And then that's when we come really, really, really close to your actual start time. If the wedding starts at 7, we'll deliver around 6:15, I would say, because we don't want the cake out for 18 trillion hours. So we'll come, we'll set it up. Anything above 7, again, same exact thing. It's like you'll see us stacking, then you will see us. Like then, that's when the team will come out and we kind of all pull together to get it done in a very short amount of time. But besides that, it will just, it's like what you said, it'll go right in the walk-in box.
I have another logistics question. You're going to think this is awful, but as someone who documents and films and records things, I've seen so many videos of cakes falling off tables and like serving tables that are not at, like, how does a venue ensure that you with your 100-pound cake coming in there is going to fit and be supported by the venue's table? Do you have to call ahead and say, hey guys, I'm bringing...
That is actually from the grace of God. I don't think anybody ever checks on that at the venue. I mean, for us, it's kind of like, you guys are responsible for this. So, like, you know how heavy cakes are. We've never, ever, ever had an issue knock...
I'm going to knock on wood, too.
With a table. Because, again, if it's like a 3 or 4 tier cake, which is average... That's weighing like 20 pounds. A table can support 20 pounds. But when it gets to, typically what happens is when the cake is that big, like if it is a 7-tier, 8-tier, it's usually on a rented cake table, which is made of like, a lot of them are made of like tempered glass, which, you know, like that can obviously hold the weight. Like that's not going to be an issue. But when the cake's that big, it's on a rented cake table, which I trust a lot more because that is very sturdy. Like they're not, I've actually never experienced a wobbly cake table, believe it or not.
Well, okay. That's pretty good. I've never had a cake fall at any of my events, but I have seen some that were not structured correctly.
Oh, they're so like this. They're like wah, wah.
Yeah, you mean the cake itself is like slumping?
The cake itself looks a little sad. Tell us like how you prevent. Well, because like, okay, so here's the thing, right? Remember, I'm planner coordinator. I'm not necessarily out here trying to make cakes or manage cakes even really, but everybody thinks everything is my fault, right? Like, and so
of course
people will see a cake leaning and they're like, Martin, like the cake is leaning. Can you fix it? I'm like, what would you like me to do about the leaning cake?
Yes, so
I know what you can do, Martin. You can stick your yearbook under the side.
Yes.
And prop it up a little bit.
Prop it back up.
Yeah. Like the leaning tower of pizza. You can just like lean it back.
Or, you know what, Jason? Take that back. It could be a piece of art. It's like the leaning tower of pizza.
Right.
Exactly. You can have it leaning.
It's beautiful.
Just add some decor to it or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Perfect.
So like, just truthfully, like, what do we do to prevent cakes from leaning? Number one, because I've seen your cakes. Your cakes are beautiful. I can't imagine that you're giving somebody a cake that's like slouching to the side.
No.
How do we prevent that? And is there anything that somebody can do? Because like, I can't think of anything. I'm not touching the cake, right? Like, but you know, like theoretically, if this happened to somebody, is there something that they could do to fix it?
Okay, so yes. To answer your questions, to number one, it's all about, it's actually kind of what Jason said before about like knowing art, like what'd you say about architecture and stuff, like knowing like structure and like if the table can hold.
Right.
You need to know what your cake can hold. So what I mean by that is each tier gets wooden dowel supports that are measured to the size of the cake. And then the boards have to be sized properly on each tier so that it can hold the weight. So basically, if a cake is leaning like that, that means the dowels can either be too short, there's not enough dowels, or maybe they didn't even put dowels. If they did not put dowels in, that probably means that they're a newbie at this. And believe it or not, people think criticism sometimes, like they don't want to make comments, but that's also how you make someone learn. So like if a cake is lopsided, like you should call them and just say, hey, like the cake was lopsided, like next time, like, you know, like just an FYI, like it needs better support. Like, that's how I have built my company around. Like the critiques I got in the beginning were brutal. You know, when I first started this company, I was 18 years old. Mm. I was like a child. I mean, I literally did it. I still am a child. but I did it out of my basement and I had another job on top of it. And basically I was working for Cake Boss actually, but I was still making cakes like out of my house on the side. And I had no idea what I was doing, like zero idea. And eventually I just kept getting better and better. But the comments, you know, all critiques sometimes are not always a bad thing. like critiques, if you don't take them personal, you can learn so much from that and just move on. You know, business and personal are two separate things, and do not take it like to another level. Someone comes to you, you know, don't be nasty about it. Don't call them screaming. But if you call them and you're just like, hey, it's a learning lesson. So if you're listening and you're trying to learn, make sure your dowels are properly sized. You know, make sure you always put enough dowels in. And again, that's going to depend on your tier size, the weight of each tier, what the structure is. You know, if you have certain round structures are obviously the easiest. And then once you go from there, square, hexagon, now we do like floating acrylic tiers. There's all of this stuff that is different and unique, and it all requires different techniques.
So what kind of advice would you offer a young couple, a bride, a couple who is looking to get a cake, maybe something more than the average cake? Like, where can they start? I mean, obviously, you're a company, but when they start researching cakes, what are some things they should be looking for?
I would say the most important thing to me about cakes and design is going to come down to making sure, and Martine, this is where you come in, making sure everything flows, you know, like, what is the overall theme? What are you trying to represent? Are you trying to go modern? Are you trying to go elegant? Are you trying to go traditional? Are you trying to, like, tell me that kind of stuff, and then we'll make it flow. I think everything in your room has to flow. The second thing I'm really, really big on, does it tell your story? What can we do to make the cake unique that represents you as a couple? Whether it be the flavors, whether it be, you know, I have people who ask all the time, can we add a little sculpture of our dog in the back? And I think that is important to tell your story, because there's so many weddings that happen across the world every weekend. And what's going to make yours unique to you?
Yeah, I love that, because that's actually one of the first questions that I ask my couples when they come to me, is like, what would make this special for you? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Not your mom, not your dad, not what Pinterest told you, not what your friend said you have to do, but like, what is it that you guys want?
Yeah.
Out of this event. And I love that. I love the fact that you're asking that question, and I totally feel you on the making sure everything works out well. Like, cause I do believe, look, you know, I'm not saying everything, nothing has to be cookie cutter, and every wedding is unique in its way, because you should be bringing yourself to it. And that is the part that is unique. And so, you know, making sure that everything works well together. And I don't think enough people give enough credit to how the cake will factor into everything else. Like, there are going to be a lot of pictures of that. And so
you definitely
want it to look and feel like a part of the rest of the day.
Yeah, you can't have, you know, an all white wedding and then you're like, yeah, we want a yellow and red wedding cake. I mean, that doesn't go. Like, everything just has to, are there a lot of gold elements in your wedding? Okay, then let's add some gold to the cake. Like, there's so many things that have to be incorporated in order for it to make sense.
Right. Okay, well, Vin, this has been quite an education in cakes. I have to admit, I didn't know much about cakes and how it worked. And I feel like I know a lot more now. I usually tell stories from my wedding, and I did kind of have a little bit of a horror story with our cake.
No.
But I am not going to go into it.
But now you can't just drop it.
I know.
Jason,
I feel the same way.
Like, what was the horror story with your cake?
So we got our cake from Whole Food. It wasn't a dedicated cake maker like you.
Okay.
And everything looked great on the pictures and everything. And the cake was actually very delicious. We still enjoyed the flavor and the consistency. The only problem was, and there was a designer, I don't know if this person was certified from a culinary school or what, but we had a fall wedding, and they had, we wanted fall leaves like swirling around the tiers, right? And so we actually wanted pumpkins, and I don't know what it's made of. It's the sugar material that you put on the cake. What is it called, Vin?
Fondant?
I guess, yeah. So we wanted little pumpkins on top of the cake.
Oh, don't tell me your cake was whipped cream and they put fondant on top of it.
No, it was the pumpkins had actually like melted and were like globs on top of the
that
cake.
That means your cake is whipped cream. That's what happens. So if what? Your cake is, if there's whipped cream elements on the outside of your cake, there's moisture and whipped cream. Like, it's okay. Heavy cream, you know?
Okay.
And the water content actually melts fondant. Like, it will destroy fondant.
Okay, then that's what happened.
Oh, that's my what happened. Gosh.
So the cute pumpkins, we had like two or three pumpkins on top. Two pumpkins. One was her and one was me. And that was on our invitations too. Our theme was pumpkins, right? So, yeah, they were just like, instead of being a three-dimensional spherical shape like a pumpkin would be, they were two-dimensional. Like, just the ball melted into a flat circle. Two flat circles.
Oh my gosh.
On the top of the cake.
On top of the cake. You could hardly tell what it was. It was like, what's that orange thing on top of there? Like a Frisbee? Like an orange? two Frisbees? What is that?
I was telling you a story, though. Maybe
I want to send you guys. I want a picture.
I bet you we have some pictures. I bet you we have some. I feel bad for the photographers that had to shoot that. I'm like, oh, God.
That is hysterical.
I guess it's not a horror story, but it was a little disappointing.
You know what, though? I feel like those are the kinds of things where you're like, meh. Cake tasted good. We got to the end of the day. Like, you probably didn't even notice until you were cutting the cake.
We were not that upset. We were disappointed, but we did enjoy the flavor, and we still go back to Whole Foods and get that same flavor now.
Oh my God.
So. But probably not the place. Well, you know, we'll talk about all these things. Vin, thank you so much for joining us and telling us all about the crazy cake stuff. I appreciate you for bringing out your 100-plus-pound cakes. And
I know. I can't imagine what that's like.
On all these things. And, because I usually see these processes through from start to finish, I know how much, like, it sounds like a minor detail to a lot of folks, but I know it isn't. So we thank you. We thank you so much for coming on and educating our listeners. And we'll chat soon.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.